From the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. We are down a man tonight. Tuna is off on assignment.
What?
Somewhere in the northeastern United States, from what I understand. Hopefully he will be back next week with a full report on what he has been doing up there. I believe he may be going to visit Johnny Fever perhaps tomorrow up in Boston in Johnny's new city of residency. So we do hope to hear from him, and hopefully he'll be here next week. I have no reason to think he won't be. But since he's not here, over my right shoulder at the high top table, sliding into Tuna's seat.
Once again.
He is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. He is Whiteboard Jody. Jody, it's good to have you up here at the high top tonight.
Yeah, it's instead of looking at your back, I can actually look at you when I'm talking to you.
There you go.
And bellied up to the bar, a man who looks like the like he's getting ready to serve at Roland Garros in his Rafa Nadal threads, but I understand is also first in line for the soon-to-be open job of manager of the USA men's national team. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Sign me up.
I don't know if you're going to play tennis or you're playing for Brazil.
I'm ready for Brazil. I'm ready for Vinny. I'm ready for some Vinny magic. Brazil and a great match tonight with a lot of pizzazz.
And we're going to get, I think tonight is going to be a very soccer-centric show, as that's kind of been all that's been going on for the last week since we last spoke. But I do want to remind everybody that we are on social media. We are on Twitter, X, at Blockout Pod. We are on Facebook, if you just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar, you can find us there. I do want to thank everybody that went in last week and downloaded the show. I saw a pretty significant jump in downloads, which is always a pleasant thing to see. Also want to remind everybody to give us a follow if you are able to do that on your streaming platform of choice. Please give us a follow. Leave us a review if you enjoy the show. And as always, just want to remind you that this show only grows and gets bigger by word of mouth. So if you enjoy the show, please let a friend know. Let them know where you can find it. And we do appreciate each and every one of you that listens and has been listening, especially to our OG listeners. We always very much appreciate that. With all that being said, I thought we'd get this out of the way first and foremost, Fred.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week because we were relatively encouraged by the way that the United States played their first game in the Copa America tournament. But we did have the caveat that we thought that the team they played was not any good, which clearly they were not. That was followed up with really a devastating loss, not in just in the fact that they lost to Panama, But the way that the game transpired and the things that led to their loss, they lose to Panama. And then last night they play Uruguay, who is one of the favorites, maybe a little bit off the first page of favorites, but still a favorite in the tournament. And I thought, for the most part, played relatively well, but they had backed themselves into a position where they had no room for error.
Where they were pulling for Bolivia.
Right, which is never a good thing. And it didn't work out. The United States is going home after the group stage. Mexico is going home after the group stage.
Jamaica.
And Fred, I just kind of wanted to open it up to you. We'll start with the U.S. men's national team and what is clearly a very disappointing tournament that they had. I mean, at the very least, I think most people thought they would get through to the knockout stages. They didn't. So, Fred, what are your thoughts on the team? And going forward, they've got a lot of decisions to make,
dude,
right?
This is such a coulda, woulda, shoulda situation where, you know, I mean, we've already talked about the first game. We talked about it on here. So we don't even need to go into how well the U.S. played in that game. Mainly players like Pepe, who was all over the place. Pulisic, obviously. And then the crisp passes. And then also Tim Weah, who played great in that game, I thought. All right, move to the second game. And even Balogun is starting to come on as a possible guy that we're starting to like, who subbed in. So then we start off this game. We're all amped up. Everybody's geeked. The game's starting up. And we get into, we're getting ready to make our trudge through the Copa. And, you know, a one play doesn't go our way, which has done the same to teams in Europe and in the Copa numerous times, to where you have a goal pulled back from an offsides call. Okay, get over it. Move on. You're playing Panama, your rival. They know you well. You know them well. They know how to get under your skin maybe better than other people. They're CONCACAF.
But this is a team that we should let everybody know that the United States
always beats.
Has dominated.
Yes. Yeah, I think they've only gotten us one or two times.
I think in the last 27, they're 24-3.
Right. Can I throw an analogy in there?
Sure.
And
This is worse than the UK loss to Oakland in the NCAA tournament.
Well, we're getting there. We're getting there. But what I'm saying is, and then Tim Weah, who I've been waiting to can on this dude, does a stupid play 80 yards away from the field and literally puts the U.S. down a player right at the beginning of the game. And I'm telling you right now, that if you've watched UK or USA games many times and you're a watcher or you're a fan at the game or you're Alexi Lawless or you're some kid that plays club soccer and high school soccer, you know that we are in, oh God, it's USA. Now we're in trouble. And then, of course, the other team gets loose. Long story short, we know what happens. But, dude, Tim Weah, in my opinion, should have been sent home right then and there. And that therein lies part of the problem. And I know he's probably a good guy and he's done great things. But, dude, that cost, in my opinion, I knew right then and there that cost the USA that match. Because it's going to change everything. They're going to probably get down. And we just don't have the offense and the creativity to score. And we should against them, but a man down? And it's ungrateful. It's selfish. It was a horrible play by him. And that puts us behind the eight ball. Then we lose. So we end up losing. And like Travis said, we get to the next game. and then you're fighting a team that's won 4-0 and 5-0 in games, and then you're pulling for the worst, for the 86th team in the world whose government almost got overran 4 days before that, and you think they're gonna and you think they're gonna carry you through, and by God, they almost did for a little while. But what I but it all comes down to, you know, that I really believe that it, if he not doesn't get that red card, we win 2-1, we get confident, we go in, play Uruguay, possibly win that game and come out the winner of our group. I am telling you, we could have come out the winner of our group. If you're riding that momentum, and momentum is huge with U.S. soccer, Travis, you know that. Jody, you know that. If we start winning games, we get hot, we can kind of get going. But it's our spirits, the fight, this, that, and the other. Oh, well, here we go again. And it just enters into their brains, all of them but Pulisic, I might add. And it just never gets out. That's when we become one-dimensional. And the soccer team that what you're getting at, Travis, to answer your earlier part, is Greg Berhalter. He came in. He's been here twice now. I mean, he's got at least, what, 12 losses? I think this is our fourth loss in a row, or 4 out of 6. And I don't understand. I mean, dude, they can say what they want to about Greg Berhalter. Get him. Keep him. I do think that Carly Lloyd said something interesting and said, and I want to talk about this. I don't just want to preach. That she said that that maybe they're too, maybe everything in the locker room's too hunky-dory. Maybe everyone's kind of getting a little pass, and everyone loves the coach so much, and he's buddies with them, that there's no people being held responsible for anything. You know, she goes, I hated, we hated all of our coaches when we won the World Cup, and we fought together as a team despite them sometimes. And I'm not saying you get a coach that everybody hates, but I don't understand why we have to get an American coach and a coach inside this U.S. MTM circuit. Like, why can't we go out and look at Travis Albania's coach? Who is the rookie for Man United that played at Brazil, who now has went to Albania, left Man United after 1 year, and coaches them and puts them in the in the Euro Cup, and they play fantastic, and I know they're out, but some guy like that. I mean, I do believe that that Matt Crocker and the higher-ups there are one-dimensional. The players we have are sometimes one-dimensional, but so are the people at the top. And I don't understand, like, hey, get everyone together in the whole United States that plays club, high club, all-state soccer, and get them all in a big tryout. And let's see who's the best and who plays the hardest. And whatever, and I'd be surprised. I think this is a channel that goes through the same old all the little kinks where these certain people are set in line to watch certain talent come through. And we're not, it's not, the channel is not wide open. It's just a small channel of players. Who's scouting these guys? Whatever. Put it this way, and to put it in a funny way, so I played club soccer and high school state soccer, in you know, big time postseason stuff. Played club at a high age. Dude, we had all these players that had great moves. You could just talk about Colombia or whatever. Not, you know what I'm saying? Back then, that's what it was like to us. But one time I had to get a sub for a guy, and I said, hey, I got a friend that played for Seneca. And they're like, Seneca? We don't want that guy. And his name was Tim Ball. He was a scoring machine. But He didn't have no pizzazz. He had no pizzazz. He had no moves, nutmegs, and all these things that we worked on all the time and thought we were cool. You know what he did? He put the freaking ball in the net. That's what he did. And he subbed in for us one time.
Scored
a hat trick. And these guys left that field, guys from Ballard, St. X, all over the place, KCD. And they're like, God dang, they were stunned. And sometimes, not to keep going on, but sometimes that's what you need to find, is you need to not find the kid coming up with the best moves and size and things like that. You need to find the guys that know how to put the ball in the net, that can score, that are physical, that have moves to take on one-on-one players.
For example, in basketball, when a coach is looking at a player, they go, this guy has a nose for the ball.
Right. That's how that Mueller was for a while for Germany. I mean, he was just always in the right place at the right time. Miroslav Klose. He had like 8 goals one World Cup. I mean, they're always just there. USA needs to find those guys. They need to find the creative guy. But what I'm saying is open it all up. And I'll end with that as far as Berhalter and everything. But open up the whole enchilada. And let's see if we can get some players in from other areas that may have a talent and a skill that these guys you've been looking at for the last 10 years as they're coming up. Because it's the same old story, is it not, Travis? Is it the same old story of the golden generation?
It is, and a part of me almost thinks that the kind of the christening of this particular group as the golden generation didn't really do them any... kind of did them a disservice of, not that we put too, because look, the players individually on this team are enough. I mean, this is not the United States team of 25 years ago where you have one or two guys that play high level European soccer.
Right.
These guys,
some of those guys had more heart, I don't want to say it's heart. It's not hard. These guys are trying their best. But they had something extra that's just missing. You know what I mean?
But there's now that, you have the talent. You need to match the talent with what... And I think a lot of
and
it...
And I don't want... You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say heart. I'm not questioning the heart of
right.
the USA men's
right.
team.
Right, right.
And sit here in this basement and say that in this bar. I'm not going to do that.
I think that...
But they're missing something.
I think a lot of it is tactical. I mean, I really do. If you
all the
watch,
right guys in the right places.
Right. If you watched, and I know you did, you and I were texting back and forth during the game today, that Austria... we used to call them just Turkey, but now they're Turkeye is how they're saying it. Anyway,
Turkey, baby.
If you were watching that game today, that was to me. And I would ask that,
you're going to say the word effort, aren't you?
if you listen to this show, even if you're not a huge soccer fan, but you're relatively interested in these tournaments, do yourself a favor.
Yes.
And at least watch the second half of this game. It was, to me...
It's on tonight. It's running in the middle of the night.
Well, that won't help our listeners because...
Oh, that's right.
But go back and
find it.
Back and find it. Stream it. It is, to me, kind of the... distilled in its purest form what these tournaments should be and can be, and today it was. I mean,
leaving your blood and guts on the field.
The last 30 minutes of that game was as high a drama as I've seen in sports
yeah.
in years.
And the effort, in the rain. It was insane.
And
the high quality.
Yeah. And now
the save.
Now, neither of those teams is ever going to win an award for being a great defensive team, but they played their brains out and they did enough to both teams had a legitimate chance to win. But the way they just got forward and attacked and attacked and attacked
and got back,
it was so fun to watch. And congratulations to
that one guy with the header.
Oh my God.
I mean, has he got a 44-inch vertical?
I know. It was crazy.
But no, congratulations to both teams. They both fought.
Yeah, it was one of those games where you kind of
Austria
felt like
Turkey.
It was a shame that somebody had to lose.
Right, right.
But that's what makes these games so great, is somebody has to lose.
You know, another thing, the referee was impeccable in that game.
Yes. And
stayed out of the way. And that is not what the U.S. had.
Which is diametrically opposed to what. But, you know, and
we can talk about that, too. Everyone's already knocked that into the dirt.
But
we know what happened.
I do want to say this. Because
I
expect, and we've seen it for as long as we have watched the United States men's national team, they do not typically get a kind whistle wherever they play. But you would think, playing here in the United States, hosting the tournament, that you're not going to get totally freaking jobbed.
Right.
In your own country.
It started from us staying in the crappy KC locker room.
There's not many FIFA referees that are from the U.S., though, if you think about it. And for people out there that don't understand, if you want to be a FIFA referee, you literally have to start refereeing games at 12, 13 years old and literally move your way
up. They knew
this
guy's
one of the hardest
name
to
and
do.
Address. Yeah. He was from Peru.
And,
but
I'm
I agree.
He's one of Tuna's guys from Peru.
And I'm not saying you have to be from the United States. I'm just saying get us a guy that isn't clearly hate the United States.
I agree.
I mean, this guy hated us.
But hey, no, when you talk about or Turkey and you talk about Austria and all these teams that have they have looked better than the U.S., obviously. They look better
than
the U.S. I haven't even gotten into teams like Venezuela and teams that Ecuador. I can go all the way up and down. That but, look better than the U.S. Here's what I'm getting down to say here is that we are just not on the same playing field as almost all of these teams, dude. Like the CONCACAF teams, I mentioned them. They're all bad for the most part. Panama is now taking the lead for us, I mean, you know, Canada's getting ready to lose to Venezuela. I'm putting 100 on that. And we are the one of the same. We're bad in CONCACAF, too. We are just not on the level. Look, when people look down and say Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan are our best players of all time, buddy, I respect both those guys, but they weren't good enough. I'm sorry.
And the funny
thing
is,
they have 50 goals. Look,
they hated each other.
Here's the deal.
They
I'm
did
not saying
like
they weren't great players, but they never – and they took us further than anyone else has. But they got 54 goals in their career, international apps. Like Luis Suarez has 187, or other people have at least 70 that are four on a team. We are just not there, dude. And I don't know what it's ever going
to
take.
So I want to bring something up if I can. And
I just don't get it.
And I have my opinion. In fact, I think I know the answer. But this is to all those people out there that don't necessarily follow soccer. Explain to them, Travis and Jerry. So
who's that?
If you are Freddie, if you look at the U.S., our women's team is – been ranked one or two in the world for the last 16 years.
Yeah.
So I think the answer is pretty simple, but I would like to hear what you all have to say for everybody listening.
As to why
Our women's team is so good compared to our men's.
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, I think women's international soccer, well, I don't think, clearly is a much younger sport than men's international soccer.
Right.
And so I think that women, athletes at a high level started playing. They were ahead of the rest of the world, at least on the same level as the rest of the world.
Yeah.
When like everybody started
even
playing
Brazil
soccer.
And Spain and stuff, the U.S. was ahead of them in female
and clearly,
probably more opportunity, too.
And clearly, the best athletes, male athletes in the United States, typically do not venture towards soccer. They venture towards football or baseball or basketball.
And another big thing was the Men's World Cup in 90. Was 90, right? Yeah.
'94
Yeah. And when that came in, that's when the world was like, soccer? But I'm saying women's soccer really shot off. You know, a lot of all those girls, little girls went to all those games. A lot of people, everybody. I mean, that really did lift men's soccer. Is having that. And then, of course, as those girls got channeled into the right people and they start setting up academies and things like that, man, I mean, you know, you're going to find some of the best female athletes you can find. And
well, when was the famous game with Brandi Chastain? Was that in the...
You're not by the... Where's your...
Was that in the
late... Joe, Mr. Electricity's supposed to get
2000?
That.
2000?
The late 90s or early 2000s,
And Mia Hamm and everyone just, they took
that
off.
Was the first generation, and that really... And then that really got women in this country excited about soccer. And then your next generation came through right after that, obviously, so... Excuse me.
And to answer your question, yeah, maybe they care more than the men.
1999.
Okay.
I was a year off.
Yep.
Maybe they care more than the men, Travis. I mean, you know, let's get down to the guts of it here.
And for we do have a lot of female listeners now. For those of you that don't know what Travis is talking about, 99 World Cup. Was World Cup or Olympics?
I believe that was the World Cup. I think.
Hold on, I'm trying to. World Cup final. PK, Brandi Chastain takes it. She makes it, and she rips her jersey off. Of course, she has a sports bra off, and of course, it went viral.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably when viral.
Well, it just happened. It happened to be a Nike, big Nike swoosh across the front of it, which was.
It's on commercials all the time now.
Very fortuitous.
I thought we were hammering the men here.
Well,
just throwing that in there.
And like,
so.
Well, maybe that is hammering the men more. So, just rubbing it in the wound there.
With all that being said, Fred, is Berhalter the coach going forward?
No, no, I don't think so at all. I think you hire from anywhere. They keep going, where are they going to hire from? I mean, the last time we were on home soil in the Copa America, we made the semifinals with less talent. I just, I don't know who we're going to hire. I gave you someone, the head coach at Albania. That's who I want. I'll look him up before the end of the show. I know his name's Savello or something, and he is got a nice resume. And, I think we need to go somewhere like that. Remember we went to Boris back in the day and I thought he did great. Jurgen Klinsmann for a while did good. And as Alexi Lalas says, maybe you should do a four-year cycle where you just have a coach that coaches for 4 years and it's time for a change.
How old is Bruce Arena?
Oh, God. I don't know. But they interview the players, like, what's going on? Like Dempsey said, what are they going to say? They're
world-class strike for Brazil.
No, we hate him.
Yeah. World-class strike for Brazil, by the way.
Is that Vinny?
What was that, 25, 30 yards out?
Oh, wow.
Upper V.
Oh, that's
no,
pretty.
There's no chance. Brazil takes a 1-0 lead over Colombia in the 13th minute.
That was beautiful.
Fantastic. But anyway, I'm with you, Fred. I just don't see a way forward with Berhalter because you can't just... I mean, they've already brought him back. They let him go once. They brought him back. I just don't see...
We have no competitive games left until the World Cup 2026.
Basically, yeah.
Nothing.
Yep, that's basically
nothing.
True.
Nothing. I mean, that's scary to think of. What are we going to do when we get into these qualifiers?
God. Well, that's the thing.
I mean, that's why you
We don't have qualifiers.
No, you're right. We don't have qualifiers.
They
so
almost need
games.
Qualifiers.
Right. No, they need... Well, they're going to have to come up with something. I mean, they have to come up with the soccer camp of the century.
They have
That's
some...
what I'm saying. Bring everyone in. Bring them in. I mean, you know, club level 14 and up. And let's see what that let's see who we got.
I just don't know what the logistics of that are going to look like, because for those that don't know, if you are the host country or whatever, you're automatically in the World Cup, so they don't have to qualify, so they don't go through the gauntlet that everybody else goes through. I guess they're but then you're not going to get a bunch of friendlies because all these other teams have to qualify.
I know.
And they don't want to play a game that doesn't mean anything. So it's definitely a unique time in American soccer, and kind of because the talent is there. And I don't want people to think that we're shitting on the talent of the American national team.
No,
because
but some of the talents there weren't. It's not.
I
up
think
to
five
par
or six
everybody
deep,
else.
I don't think. Like
what I'm saying is,
teams.
It's not up to par with everybody else.
Yeah.
When you watch Christian Pulisic play, you can look on the field and not know soccer, and know that he is the best player on our team.
I would say, look at Turner, the goalkeeper.
And
when a ball goes out and we got the goal kick, he is ripping somebody's ass on our team because they missed their spot on the other side of the field.
Yeah, he was on some people hard in that game. But what I'm getting at is we've got to find some more creative players and other players that dynamic to put the ball in
I
the net.
I think the players are there. I think it's tactics.
I mean, I think it's both.
I think it's tactics more than anything because there's no way that
it's training tactics. I don't know. Not just plays but the whole deal, the whole enchilada. So
I would love to know. And
who else is behind the mirror besides Berhalter is what I want to know. He's not in charge of making all the calls on players and things like that.
Oh no, there's a whole USA Soccer
right
committee
and,
that's
and
in
Matt
charge.
Crocker
of that.
Is one of the main dudes behind there. But what I'm saying is, or do other people have their hands in the cookie jar and they need to get the hell out and clean house? Just clean house before the World Cup.
It's too soon. Ingrained and too political. I mean, what if you want to go back to 1980? I'm looking at a picture right here on the master control desk of the United States hockey team celebrating beat the Russians. What Herb Brooks did with that squad was he basically said, look, USA hockey has gotten us into the position that we're in now where we do not compete on the world stage. So if you want me to be the coach, I'm going to be USA hockey. And I don't care about these other guys that are trying to tell me the players we need to take. And the great thing that you'll hear Herb Brooks say was he didn't necessarily pick the best players. He picked the best team.
Right.
And I think what you're saying, Fred, is kind of along those same lines. maybe not the guys that are necessarily.
Yeah, don't pick the players you're supposed to pick.
Right.
Pick the players that can handle pressure.
Right.
And that can that you know. Just...
And but it was going to take a very unique person to recognize that, or people to recognize that. But clearly, whatever the United States
have hit rock bottom, and we're close.
Whatever the United States has done up to this point has not worked. And so
no.
I'm with you. I think there needs to be kind of a wholesale mentality change and a change in the way that we look at these things, because that World Cup's going to be here before you know it, and it is going to be embarrassing if they get ran.
Yeah, missing
on our home
the
soil.
Last World Cup and then going out in the CONCACAF during the Euros and everything. So, anyways.
So that puts a bow on the United States.
Good luck. Good luck.
And Copa America, which...
But let's keep talking soccer, because there
are great
teams out there.
We are definitely going to keep talking soccer.
You want to talk about... Let's talk about Euro Cup first.
I want to go into the Euros. I mentioned earlier today, I want to reiterate the fact that if you did not get to watch the Austria game today against Turkey A, or however you say it.
I want some turkey.
Watch it.
Hey.
I want some.
Watch it, because it is as high quality and as high drama as sports can get. And but the quarterfinals are set. The quarterfinals are set. And
yes.
Fred, I'm just going to kind of open it up to you.
Well, dude, let's all look at this. I've got so let's go down the list. We got Switzerland, England. I have an arrow pointing down for one team and an arrow pointing up towards the other team. Which one you think I got, Travis?
Well, can I just tell you, England really. If they played that the final 5 minutes of that game 100 times, England might win one.
Right.
And they won the one.
But what a goal by Jude Bellingham.
It was unbelievable.
It was a freaking half volley bicycle kick.
It was unbelievable.
With 3 minutes left and excruciating pressure by the England side, of course, as usual. Probably worse than the U.S.,
But they got through.
But they got through, and they had a guy that was great. They had a player that was great that made a play that'll maybe look back in England for centuries.
Oh, it'll be. And people will never forget that goal. There's no doubt.
I mean, especially named Jude, you know, and he's one of the youngest ever to play to start for that international team.
I just got a text message from a listener. Please talk about how bad the U.S. play. I said, check.
So nice. So Switzerland, you know, I have an arrow pointing up for them and an arrow down for England, because England did not play good in that game, and they were frustrated.
They haven't played well this whole tournament.
I know. But they are finding ways to win. However, Switzerland is one of them teams that reminds me of the game you saw today. They are some hungry little dudes that are physical, relentless. And I'm going to tell you right now, I might be calling an upset there, Travis.
Well, I mean, is it really an upset, though, based on... The way that both teams are playing?
On my Euro top 20, I have England 6th and Switzerland 9th.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's almost like
All these games are, really. But, so you get to the next one. Netherlands, Turkey. Dude, the Netherlands are on... I think their cylinders are starting to turn. They've got the strikers, Memphis Depay And Gotspo, I'm telling you right now, they've got some great defenders. The Netherlands could win this tournament. They could sneak in and win it. I'm telling you. Turkey's tough. I mean, that's going to be a tough game, but I would send the Netherlands through. We know how much heart Turkey has. And they have a striker that's on fire and a goalie that it looked pretty damn good to me.
I just worry about their defense over an entire game against a really good offensive team.
Right.
I would love to think that they are going to win the next game, but I can't. And I'm not discounting the fact that they could.
Right.
But I just, if I'm going to be picking one way or the other, I'm with you, and I see the Netherlands going through.
Right, okay.
Does that go back to the history and tradition of what Netherlands has had in the past compared to Turkey, though? Is that part of your decision-making?
Yeah, I think it is. That's a good point. I mean, the Netherlands are a team that just keeps bringing people up, and they have world-class players. And I have them as the third best team in the Euro Cup, easily one of the top 10 teams in the world altogether, mixed with the Copa. And they're always at the front. I mean, I consider Travis, don't you respect them as much as you would Italy or anybody else?
Oh, of course.
They're right there.
Yeah, of course.
They're like almost right on the edge of Argentina, Italy. But no. The Netherlands have won this tournament. They have won and they have good. You know what the Netherlands has? They never seem to have, from what I've read and seen. I could be wrong to the deepest Netherlands fan, but they don't seem to have a lot of controversy with their coaches. They always seem to have the guy, and he moves up. I almost feel like they have a 4-year cycle. In over there. Of the Dutch. They never seem to have the same coach, but they have won at least enough to win a big tournament. How about this next one, dude?
Now we get into Freddie's wheelhouse.
Oh, baby.
And a game that I think everybody is looking forward to. Now, I have said, and I don't think this is any sort of, you don't have to be a soccer aficionado to say that the best team that's at their best form in this tournament so far has been Spain, and that Germany has not exactly lived up to possibly the level that some of us thought that they would. But with that being said, this is the marquee game.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one, and there's a
big fight
in the Brazil-Colombia game right now.
Look at Vinny's right in the middle of it.
But
that's Laramie.
But we are very much looking forward to this game. This is Friday at noon.
Friday at noon.
So find yourself a way to watch this game Friday at noon.
Come watch it with Freddie.
Spain and Germany. Fred, break down this game. Break down Spain and how you think they've played so far. Obviously,
dude, as we all know, I have Spain actually on my big board as the second ranked team in Europe, but Germany 4, this is how they're playing. Like, Germany's really ranked in the FIFA rankings like 16th. But here's the thing with Germany: they are on home soil. They have not done well. They missed a World Cup, for God's sake, which is like, you think it's bad in the U.S.
Oh, my.
Like, Italy recently missed it, and Germany. So, go figure. And, dude, actually, the Netherlands missed one of these Euro Cups not long ago. So, put it this way, it does happen to everybody every once in a while through cycles of bad management. But Spain, Travis, Joe, do you all know that they have been somewhat of a machine? They've But another thing is they've had the right teams and they've taken the lead and then they got enough points. They didn't do something stupid and get a red card and get behind the eight ball. They won that next game that was a little tougher. And then, bam, they can sit their players. You know how it works. You sit your players for this one. The whole second string plays a whole different style than Tiki Taka. They dominate that way with Danny Almo and Ferran Torres, my boy. And they and then now they've won two different ways versus two teams. And then the third game, it's like, let's just play. So it's like if it all depends with momentum, dude, and how you start it off. If you do something stupid or whatever and you lose one of the games and put yourself in jeopardy, you get in a funk. The Italians got in that funk even though they're young. But Germany has not gotten in that funk either. So this is going to be a tough, tough matchup. Do I think Spain will be favored? Yes. Just because of the creativity and the world-class players on the field, even though Germany has world-class players on the field.
They got some veterans on the field.
They don't
still
have as many strikers like world-class. Mueller's not going to play in that game, trust me.
But they're on the team. They're part of it.
They have one that is world-class, and that is Musiala. And he is a absolute stud, and that's the guy that worries me. There's a couple. But what Germany does is they have that, Travis, that oomph that the U.S. is looking for. They have that guy that can just come through and make it happen. They are physical, strong, and strong-minded. So Germany and Spain, sometimes Spain, I hope that the coach doesn't come out and start some crazy other lineup, which I've seen happen many times, and then Spain gets dominated. It has happened. But this coach seems to be sitting back and kind of everything's went his way. So his starters should already be set up, and he should know who he's going to sub in for. And this game's going to be incredible. I think it's going to come down to a penalty in the box kind of game, like, uh-oh, a PK or two. This game could go into penalty kicks. Then we move on to France, Portugal,
which has the kind of the marquee man versus man type of superstar versus superstar. You've got Mbappe and Ronaldo, but really the game's going to come down to everybody else.
Yes, it really
like
will.
Those two are going to be on the poster.
Right.
But the game's going to come down to everybody
right,
else.
Right. Now, Mbappe can come away with something great, and maybe, I think.
I think Ronaldo's time is.
He's a little slower out there.
Well,
dude.
He's also made so much more money elsewhere, believe it right. or not.
In Dubai? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just out there to still be out there.
But Portugal, I have an arrow.
I'll tell you this right now about him. If you watched that game the other day, he missed the PK at the end of the game.
Came back and made it.
That would have probably won the game. He was on the sidelines in tears. And then guess what? He stepped up and hit the one to win the game.
Right, to win the game. Like, and kicked it crazy over.
I'm not saying he's going to be Cristiano Ronaldo from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But there's no question in my mind that he cares more about these games than any club or whatever games that he's going to play. These are the games he cares about.
This is his final hurrah.
Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to be in the World Cup.
Probably not. Probably not.
But, dude, they need him because they're not playing well.
No.
Portugal cannot score. I thought they, remember, they rested their players. Oh,
they did.
We're ready. Here
they
we come.
Did.
And then it goes into a freaking insane. How about that shootout, Travis?
3-0.
Oh, dude. Some great goalie saves in that. Man, that our first shootout. And it, you got to hit the goal. You got to make it.
You used to have to give yourself a chance, as we've talked about on this program
right.
many times.
Exactly. It's like we talk about the PKs, and we talk about being able to one-touch a goal, a shot into the goal in
oh, man.
To score.
Speaking of that, the the Austria goal that they scored late in the game.
Yes.
You want to talk about a beautiful one-touch.
One-touch. Bam. Yes, I saw it.
Saw it up in the upper V.
I got home today and replayed that second half.
Yeah,
and watched
fantastic.
It was awesome.
And all that stuff you talked about, Fred, has absolutely been true. The class teams, the teams with what you would call world-class touch or players or whatever, you've
right.
seen it like those one touches into the goal
right.
is what makes the difference in
no,
a lot of these games.
It does. And France is down. I have an arrow down for them. They can't score. I mean,
no.
you have the great Dembele over there on the right, and he can't, he won't take a shot. He's got great moves.
We talked about it last week, Fred, and now with the, with one more game having been played, France has 3 goals. In this tournament.
Yeah. And I have them winning this game.
Do you know how many goals they have actually in the run of play where one of their players has scored the goal?
Now you really got me going. No, tell me.
0.
Oh God, that's yeah.
They have 2 own goals.
Right.
Where the other team scored and a penalty kick.
Yes.
Those are their. They've scored 3 goals.
Right. And Mbappe's missed a game.
Yeah.
That mattered.
Like, it's crazy to me. But
he had technical difficulties for
yeah,
a few days.
And yeah.
But they have found a way to get here. We know they have.
Oh, God. They have talent, dude.
They have the quality.
And I love to see the sub come in and score the goal. What's his name? Kuna Mie. I love seeing him score. He is one tough striker. I don't feel like he gets enough love from that team. I feel like Giroud gets in more than he does, and they should. They should. What's his name, Travis?
Who?
The guy for France that scored that goal for them to beat Belgium.
Oh,
Kola Mueni.
Yep, that's it.
Kola Mueni, that's his name. And Kola Mueni needs to play more for France. I think they figured that out. Dude, hey, say what you want about Giroud, but he'll get a header in the goal. And maybe you sit Griezmann or one of those guys. But I have France going through. I have Spain going through. Boo, Tuna, Germany. Hey, Tuna, go eat some kraut with some Thousand Island during that game, buddy, and get indigestion. When Pedri kicks a upper V.
He's so upset about Peru.
But also, so I have Netherlands and England. Will we be back to finish that? That's on the 9th. The final four is on the 9th. Are we going to... those games will have already happened too, right? Before we do the show?
Again?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, today's the 2nd.
Yeah, today's the 2nd.
Next Tuesday's the 9th.
So oh, yeah.
They'll be on the 9th. They will be during the show.
They'll be during the show.
Yeah.
Well,
we might have to commentate. We had somebody ask us to do that.
Actually, one's at 12, one's at 5. So, maybe we do our picks after this, and we just pick who's going through.
My picks haven't changed.
Okay, so you still have, now that you've seen the brackets.
I still have England and Spain.
Okay, you have England
and
Spain.
Not Turkey AA.
I would love for Turkey A. to win.
That's going to be your dark horse.
They're my rooting interest. I don't really have rooting interests in these tournaments.
And the way it's set up for me is I can't have who I chose. I chose France and Spain, and they're going to have to play each other before
right.
the final. So I'm going to go Spain, Netherlands, and Spain wins.
I have Spain and England, and I have Spain winning. Colin reached out to me today and said he has been paying close attention to these games, and he's taking England to win the whole thing.
Oh, nice. Okay, he thinks that one goal may have lifted
I
them
think
over
he
the...
Thinks, I think
sometimes
he thinks
that happens,
they're going
dude.
Over the hump.
It's not like an NCAA game when you hit the three in a tight one in the Sweet 16 and then you start purring on along. Soccer's way harder than that.
Mr. Electricity, who did you have?
I had Spain and Italy, what I picked last week. Only reason I picked Italy is because of peer pressure from the other three guys in the downstairs pub to pick something different.
La Rojo.
I'm actually with Fred. Spain and Netherlands.
Yeah, and I think the Netherlands can win that game, too.
Spain is your team. We know that. But if the Netherlands win, Fred is dressed in all orange next Tuesday night.
Okay, I do have some Bengals gear, so yeah, I can pull that out. All right, good call. I like that bet. I can take that bet. Y'all want to do the Copa real quick? And
yes,
maybe
please.
Get into some NBA contracts,
please.
Or whatever.
Yes.
So we've got Argentina and Ecuador. How do you think the Copa's been going on, guys? As Tuna said, a brand new style of a better style of play, more loose, open, physical, maybe less physical, but more open and free is the Copa America going on down in the United States right now, in Georgia. All over the place, Texas, New York City,
D.C.,
Kansas City. But
that
I'm
was
telling
for you,
you,
Tuna.
I'm telling you the way of Copa America teams is beauty and finesse, and I am loving watching my Brazil team now. Y'all are like, what? And no, it's not my Brazil team, but I love Vinny Jr. So I
will tell you what,
them.
Watching this game, they're at the 40-minute mark in the first half. It is brutal. I mean, they are going at it.
Oh, yeah. Colombia is another beautiful team. Paez is Who's the guy, Travis, that's let's see here. Oh, here's what I'm getting on right now. Right now, watch out for Colombia, because James Rodriguez, what do you think, Travis? Could he get through this and take his team all the way to a Copa America win? And he is what, in the age of 36? I just think that Colombia with
he's 32.
Okay.
He's 32.
I don't think Colombia gets through.
Oh, is he 32? I thought he was older than that.
Yeah, he's 32.
Okay, well, I'm thinking that Luis Diaz. Yeah, I'm right. Cordova and Luis Diaz. That those guys are incredible. Lerma, Arias.
Diaz plays for Liverpool.
Right, right. And the Estrella is the guy the kid I love, the 19-year-old, if he ever comes back in.
Freddie, if Colombia loses this, I don't think they get through, though.
No, they do. No, I think Colombia does get through. It's just a seeding thing. It's more of a seeding.
Oh, I thought it was 1 and 2.
No,
in this.
No. These teams will both get through, especially if Brazil wins, and it will be the loser has to play. Guess who, Travis?
Uruguay.
And no one wants to play them. Wouldn't you rather play Panama?
Now, wait a minute.
Yes.
If Costa Rica wins.
They're up 2-0 right now.
Tonight.
They go through.
That puts them at 7.
Yeah.
And if Colombia loses
Colombia
tonight,
doesn't go through.
That keeps them at 6.
I thought Colombia would beat Costa Rica.
This is the third game in the group. Colombia's losing, and Costa Rica's up 2-0 right now.
So if Colombia loses,
they're out.
It's not looking good.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Unless they have a...
That would be a huge upset if Colombia doesn't make it in with the skill that they have. And that Luis Diaz is only like 17 years old.
And for those that don't follow soccer, years ago, a Colombian player had an own goal that cost them, and that guy didn't live long after that. He was
something.
He was attacked in a bar, did not make
it. Hey, Travis. So I start off that bracket with Argentina and Ecuador. I would think that Argentina goes through.
One would think so.
I think Ecuador is a great team with Paez and Valencia and Cachedo. And they are a team that could give this team a little bit of trouble. But I think I see like a 2-1 victory, maybe something like that.
That sounds right.
How about Venezuela, Canada?
That's a spicy little game.
Dude, Canada has not been able to score nothing. They may be worse than the U.S. I got Venezuela winning 3-0 in this.
Wow.
Jim, on the big board, I got Venezuela. Hey. Hey, everyone out there, follow me on that. Go ahead and bet me with that. I think I'm going to put a C note on that game. I am not kidding. Venezuela has been, although the roughest country in the world, possibly, their soccer team is bringing it. They have fresh new players. They have subs that are scoring. Venezuela is putting points on the board, and they are doing it rather easily. So I have Argentina and Venezuela playing each other, which I can't wait to see. And then we've got Panama, Brazil, which I think Brazil's going to be in that bracket, correct?
It would
look
that way. Right. Yes, it's probably going to be Panama, Brazil, and Uruguay against Costa Rica.
There you go. So we're looking at a Uruguay versus Brazil, which would be unbelievable. Argentina versus Venezuela. That will be fun.
I want to say something.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because that's right. You know, that's not.
I want to say something about that Argentinian team. If you look at them, they remind me of a American sports team that really has a lot of fun together, like in the dugout or on the sidelines or whatever. Those guys are cracking up and joking and throughout the whole game. And
who is
Argentina?
Oh yeah.
So where
well,
does
hell,
that?
They're world champs. They don't have.
Well, exactly.
They don't have.
Is
any...
that where that comes from, or is that something that they've adopted from?
I don't think they have a worry in the world. They got Messi playing for them, and they've already won the World Cup. They have no pressure on them at all.
Yep.
And they're used to having pressure because they have done well.
But it's
took that monkey off their back.
It's all gone now.
It's all gone now.
And yeah, he won it. He did what he had to do, and left with the cup. So it's like, and that matters in all these tournaments. If you don't have pressure,
sure.
Oh God, because
sure
you
does.
Got some people have the pressure of a nation leaning on them. Even in like the Euro Cup, not just the World Cup, but I'm telling you. The home teams in the World Cup have major pressure. They get a lot of perks, but they have major pressure. And, buddy, you may see the biggest one of all time in the U.S. of A. in 2026.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that yet.
To put a cap on our soccer conversation.
But, hey, both these tournaments have been fantastic. I've really enjoyed watching as I really ever have these kind of tournaments, and can't wait to see what happens here in the next week. And when we come back to you next Tuesday night,
I will have my Spanish jersey on.
I guess the Copa will be, there's a goal.
Oh,
tie game.
There's a goal.
Colombia.
There's Colombia with the score. I know we've gotten into the NBA, the free agency is going on right now. a little bit crazy with Paul George and Clay,
Tatum
signing a 300 and some odd million dollar contract.
I mean, let's go through.
Yeah.
God.
I don't think that's the biggest news with Boston. They put their team up for sale.
Well, yeah. I just saw that yesterday, that whatever the managing group or whatever they said of that owns the majority shares of the team is trying to sell the team. I don't know what any of that means. I honestly have paid almost zero attention to the NBA free agency right now because it just doesn't interest me with everything that's going on. But
when you start looking at the ticker and you're like, damn, damn, damn.
I have been seeing what's been going on. So, Fred, you have been following this, I think, much closer than me.
Jody, too. I'm just talking about what's – I think that Philly has made a really nice push with re-signing Maxey. Obviously, he's a future every year All-Star who plays with happiness. I love watching him play. He's one of my favorite players. And he's in Philly, and he smiles and plays happily in Philly. And now they've got Embiid, who's going to miss some games – as usual, and I know this has all been talked about anyways, but you got Paul George who comes in and can back all that up. I mean, dude, Paul George plays hard on offense and defense. He is a all-around player, all-around all-star. And if he can keep his legs up to the playoffs and they don't get banged up like they always do, that can be a fun team, man. Like, they're going all in, it seems like, on that one.
I think NBA is that one sport where Travis touched on it earlier with USA Hockey in, was it 1980? He said he was going to pick the team, the people that played. We've seen that in the NBA time and time again. 4, 5, 6 all-stars on a team, and they can't play together.
Right.
It's all about the team that can play together. Right. And you got to figure
out. And now everybody's doing it. Like, LeBron got and all those guys got chastised for it. Dwayne Wade and Bosh. But, you know, after that, it just kind of – like, Barkley and some of them did their one move wonder thing, but they kind of created it. Now it happens all the time, but – I don't blame it. It's that people are Travis, where are they getting all this money? I mean, I've never seen so much money being thrown around in my life, dude. Like, what about
you got a guy on the Pacers that just got a 50 some million dollar deal
$167 million. We knew that was coming, but guess what? It's coming a second time because the NBA Finals MVP's getting ready to get his money.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they signed as Ike said. I want to throw in a shout out to Ike again. Congrats on the championship. And
he actually reached out this week and wants to come on sometime soon, which we're going to have.
He didn't buy the team, did he?
He's working on it.
Oh, is he looking to buy the team?
He's putting a group together of all his friends on the south end.
He owns a thoroughbred horse. He owns a thoroughbred horse like we do, right, Travis?
Yes.
He's going to own a whisker.
Yeah.
A whisker of a thoroughbred horse.
He owns one little piece of the parquet floor
there
at the Boston
go.
Garden.
Right, right. The one you can fit three quarters in between. But, I mean, Derek White, he was real pumped up about that. Hell, 122 or whatever million for him.
I didn't see his,
Dude, like, that's another great keep on that team. And he's right about it. He sent me that text. And then you look at Klay Thompson going to the Mavericks.
Yep.
I know that he's not as movable or as immobile or mobile, if you will, as he used to be, but he can still stand back and shoot a three.
I think he's gotten over that more than he's gotten. Listen, he and my favorite player that you all know so well do not like each other.
They
and have
not
for years.
That is documented. Yeah.
So that you could see the writing on the wall with that one.
But yeah, but I mean,
and he's a perfect piece for a team like that. Oh, honestly,
dude, yeah,
they're not gonna ask him to do too much,
right?
They're gonna ask him to do what you just said.
Yeah, they got
just live. Stand over here, and when we throw the ball to you, shoot it in the basket.
Because yeah. when you got guys like Lively and PJ and the other center that are. They're going, we're getting in the lane. We're going to do the bruising. You all score.
Right.
Yeah, I think right. he is the perfect piece.
They almost need someone. You know how Doncic gets double teamed, and he's got it, and he can throw the ball under, around, or behind anybody.
Yep.
When he's even posted up almost, he'll find him all day long.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. I think it was a great move for them, honestly.
I thought Quickley was a good signing for Toronto. Not that they're moving up anytime soon. Who are we missing? Somebody besides?
I think we already talked. I think last week maybe we talked about Siakam signing the big contract to stay with the Pacers.
What about the draft? While we're talking about this, did anything tickle y'all's fancy on the draft at all?
I gotta be honest with you, and I know
I did watch it. I DVR'd it and went through the whole thing.
I know that it's kind of the consensus that it was not a particularly strong draft, but the Pacers had no picks until way, way down, and nothing really caught my eye like, oh, I've got to see this. So I followed it just very tangentially, seeing who – I watched the number one pick, of course. I wanted to see that. But after that, I really didn't pay any attention to it.
I kind of liked more of it after all that. I was kind of pumped about
– Shepard went third.
Shepard and Dillingham was interesting. I kind of liked the setup. It was different. It wasn't Billis. There was a channel, I think, that had Billis and some of the girls doing the analysis that are all those WNBA players that are great at what they do. But this was Stephen A. and Travis, who's the other guy with Stephen A.? Is he a past...
I wasn't watching that one.
I have no idea.
So Stephen A. and them, the channel I watched was Stephen A. doing the draft. With one of the guys, like, I think he worked for Golden State or the Lakers for a while.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue.
And it was actually really funny. It wasn't Jay Billis and the girls that do their thing. And I don't think I was paying attention. It may have been on two different channels.
Do you have a pick?
But it was actually refreshing to see Stephen A. in a funny mood giving every player props. You know what I mean? And he did his homework on every player for the first round. And I thought I thought he did a pretty damn good job. And I enjoyed listening to it.
Do you have a pick in the draft that you go, I want to watch and see what happens?
Dillingham.
Mine too.
Dude, Dillingham.
You know, he got traded
instantly.
And
then he got traded instantly.
And almost traded again.
So, Travis, what do you think about that trade? Did you knew about that, right?
I did.
Yeah, I think Dillingham going over there is going to be fantastic.
Well, obviously teams were wanting him because they gave up a lot to get him.
Yeah, that's right.
And then another team wanted him, and they on the channel I was watching, they said it happened, and then they came back and said, no, it didn't go through. So there's something obviously they see in him, but he is going to make that – I mean, in my opinion, Dallas and that team are the two favorites next year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I like Dalton Connect. I think he's going to be a great NBA player, and he goes to the Lakers.
I disagree.
I think he's going to be good. I really do. I think he's got that motor and mentality that he can fight through. He's stubborn. And I think you got to be stubborn to make the NBA and continue to stay there.
Let's think about...
Just sit on the bench.
Let's
try to think
about other tall white guys we can compare him to.
That were stubborn? Bill Walton. No.
I was going to say, gosh, what was the guy's name that... ended up getting in a car crash with the he got hit by a
Bobby
drunk
Phils?
Driver. No, he got hit by a drunk
was
driver.
That Bobby Phils?
He didn't get killed. He He's on those Morgan and Morgan commercials.
Oh,
how
okay,
long ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Just in the last decade. I think he played for the Mavs. Parsons?
Chandler Parsons.
Chandler Parsons.
Yeah.
He could be another Chandler Parsons.
Oh, he's better than that.
I know. Damn. I'm goofing.
No,
because,
I'm with you. But, hey, I want to give a shout-out to my Bulls number 11 overall pick from Team G League Unite, which is the best G League team there. A former McDonald's All-American. Mateus B. We call him Buzzy in Chi-Town. And guess what? He is born and raised in Chi-Town. And he is of, I'm not sure what his descent is. I think he's from Finland, if I'm not mistaken.
I have no clue.
And but he is a McDonald's All-American, and we call him Buzzy. Buzzy Mateus is going to be a player. He's got a little attitude, a little pizzazz. I can't wait to see this kid. I think he's 6'7", that's going to play for the Bulls lottery pick. I'm pumped. I haven't been this pumped in a while. And we just got Giddy from the Thunder. So we're making some moves and getting rid of LaVine and all those guys. So I'm excited about that.
I think there's a little more parity in the NBA the last several years than there was.
Right.
But 15, 20 years
as far as the draft, I know they had a second round that was televised. I don't know why.
Because everybody wanted to see Bronny.
Bronny. And I heard he got signed today.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
well, of course whatever, he got signed today.
They did the press conference with him at Connect. Connect's, and by the way, Connect's not a big guy. I mean, he's taller than us, but he's like Connect's like 6'5".
Him and Bronny are going to be boys. They're going to be hanging on yachts, chilling.
He said in the press conference, I never really ever thought about playing with my dad. I'm like, what the, whatever, dude.
I mean, it doesn't. Like, I was looking at the list of guys that have been drafted in the same spot as Bronny James. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, they could have drafted Fred.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, it's the same difference.
I'll give him a left
well, you used
and
to
some
not
heart.
Get a, in the second round, a lefty was not a guaranteed contract. They get a guaranteed contract now.
Well, he needs the money, I'm sure, so good for him.
Yeah, just like Deion's kids need the money. They need that money.
Anything else to say about the NBA?
No, just wanted to get out them contracts because they were coming like fireworks.
They were.
Like,
oh, I did see something, I think it was yesterday or the day before. You know, Patrick Mahomes in the NFL signed that contract, half billion dollars,
right?
Yankees lose.
They were like highest paid player ever. Da da da. There's like 39 guys in the NBA that make more money than Patrick Mahomes does per year now.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Oh mercy.
All right. Man, that's a lot of soccer. A
lot of soccer. Had to do it.
Little bit of basketball. I want to give a big shout out to the Reds for just having beaten the evil empire, the Yankees, at Yankee Stadium. Super cool. But want to remind everybody, if you listen to us on whatever platform you listen to us on, try to give us a follow, subscribe if you can, leave us a good review, follow us on social media. With all that being said, we are in the downstairs pub. We are getting to the end of the evening, so I'm going to ring the bell for last call, and I'm going to start with Mr. Electricity, Whiteboard Jody, last call.
I'll say this. I know we got on the U.S. men's soccer team this year, or tonight, but Thursday is 4th of July, so enjoy yourselves, have fun.
Don't blow your fingers off.
Hug your neighbor and don't blow your fingers off. That's all I got.
Freddie, last call.
Okay, here's the deer. Here's the deal.
Here's the deer. Deer. Here's the deer.
Here's the deal. Matt Crocker, are you listening? Anyone else out there that's involved, highly involved in U.S. men's soccer, this is the next coach that you need to get, and by God, is he a traveling Wilbury. His name is Silvino. Silvino Mendes Campos Jr. And let me explain something to you. He is known as Savinho. And he is a Brazilian football manager and former player. And he is the head of the Albania national team that just made great strides in the
Shouldn't be that hard to get Euro him from Cup. From Albania.
You would think.
To come over here.
Now, wait a minute.
Shouldn't be that difficult.
Let me explain something to you. This is Rick Pitino. This is Larry Brown. This is Larry Brown. Look at this. So he was with the Corinthians for 177 apps. Okay, great. But then he went to Arsenal for 2 years. And then he went to Celta for 2 years. And then he went to Barcelona for 3 years. And then he went to Manchester City. Not Manchester United. Manchester City for 1 year. Okay? And then he decides to go. Now, that's when he played. Now,
did he improve at all those places that he went to?
Now, wait a minute. That's when he played. Now, listen to this. He is a... So, I'm just going to finish with his managerial career. That was his playing career, where he skipped his managerial career. 2019, this guy has just started, folks. Lyon, 2021 to 22, he coached the Corinthians. And now he has left to go to Albania. And he has only been there for like 1 year. And I'm telling you right now, put the money out. And if you're not going to get Pep Guardiola, who's sitting in somewhere, as they said on the show, I am saying that as Lawless or someone mentioned that. If you're not going to go after him, or I think that the color guy said it, Brad, whatever. If you're not going to go after Pep, who doesn't have a team right now and is one of the greatest coaches of club soccer of all time, then you need to go after Savinho for Albania. Give him the money, bring him over, and let's get it going.
I think if we're looking for a soccer coach, there's three boxes that we need to check. He needs to be 240 plus, drink red wine, and smoke heaters on the sideline. He's in.
La Rojo, I'm with you. There you go. Good luck to the La Rojo to my Spanish team. Thank you.
Awesome. Guys, great episode tonight. Hope that all you folks that are watching these soccer tournaments are enjoying them as much as us. Look very much forward to the next several days and see where these tournaments end up. Should be fascinating and great theater to watch. We will have Tuna back in studio next week. Hope that him and Johnny have a great time hanging out the next couple of days. But with all that being said, for Mr. Electricity, the Poet Laureate, Whiteboard Jody, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody. Thank you.